start moment. I'd like to get y'all to join me in that prayer right now, but in this week, praying. Isaac has got all the information, all the sound equipment, and we made an invitation to the people next door to come. Have somebody translate, Isaac will translate the sermon. So he was hoping for a night. The guy had said that he would or might. Didn't so far. But we got everything ready. We got our Spanish notes. And we're just looking for the Lord to bring us some people in here. And we want him to bring us some people. We want the Holy Spirit to pull them in. So pray for them. We can do it. I think it'd be a wonderful blessing to the community to have sound doctrine in the Spanish language. And we could do it right here. So, y'all pray, okay? So if you go to Luke chapter 5, verse 1. So I'm going to read through a few verses, kind of get the context, the flavor of where we're going. And we're going to end up in Luke 5:17, talking about the paralytic. So I'm just going to read over some verses and just point out a couple of things on our way there, and then we'll go into detail. So I hear all those Bibles rustling and those phones turning to that page. That's good. I like to look on them, phones. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. Okay? Now it came about that while the multitude were pressing round him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. So, notice right here, it came about while the multitude were pressing around him. They were pressing him in. There was large crowds coming around Christ, listening to the word of God. Notice it didn't say wanting to be healed. It said listening to the word of God. He was standing by the lake. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the multitude. Notice that multitude from the boat. Lots of people, huge crowd. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered and said, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. But at your bidding, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and the nets began to break. And they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. Now that's the catch right there. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Come in the presence of the Lord like that, there's a fear, there's a reverence that comes over. For amazement had seized him, and all of his companions began because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon, and Jesus said to Simon, Do not fear, from now on you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. And they left everything and followed Jesus. And it came about that while he was in one of the cities, behold, there was a man of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, notice he said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And he stretched out his hand, and he touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. and immediately the leprosy left him. He ordered him to tell no one, but to go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, just as Moses commanded, for testimony to them. But the news about him was spreading even farther, and great multitudes were gathering to hear him, and he healed of their sicknesses. But he himself, so again, we're looking at the great multitude, huge crowds building up, coming everywhere Jesus was coming, they were coming after him, and they're coming to listen to the word, to be taught, and also to be healed. And then it says this, but he himself often slipped away to the wilderness and prayed. Jesus Christ slipped away and prayed. He would be in this huge crowd, much healing and teaching, and then he would take time to keep away. And that's what he had done just before our story starts right here. So Luke 5:17. And it came about on one day that he was teaching, not the seventh day, but on one day. And there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law, Christ, sitting there. Notice they were sitting, they were standing. Who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing. Notice again, we got huge crowds. They're coming from everywhere. But here they point out, the scripture points out, that it was the Pharisees and the scribes who had came and sat down. And this place that we're talking about, we're going to describe here in a little bit, they believe it could have been Peter's house. But it was somebody's house that he was staying at. And this would be, I guess, go ahead and show the slide. So if you've got a house up there. Okay, can y'all see that? So you see it's just brick, and notice the stairs on the side, right? So it's not a huge house. If you look at some of the pictures where it talks about this scene that we have here, they'll show, and it'll be like a coliseum almost. They'll be dropping this guy down into this big courtyard. But that's not what it was like. This is more like what it was like. That was a typical house back in Nazareth. Like that. So this is the house, and the scribes and Pharisees, who always like to have what? The choice seats, right? So they were sitting, and they were waiting, and they were listening, and they had come from all over the country. Now, the Bible don't tell us why they came, but we have to believe it's probably not for a good thing. They were probably checking out Christ. Maybe they heard of him, maybe they seen to see what he would say, see what he was going to do. And so there was a bunch of them there. So much so that nobody else could really get in. They were would be at the entrance door based on what we're going to see here. Okay? So that's kind of the scene. Lots of people. Jesus is inside teaching. And then we're going to be introduced to the young man who was a failure. Verse 18. And behold, some men were carrying on a bed a man who was paralyzed. And they were trying to bring him in to set him down in front of him. The paralyzed man, and another, of course, this is all of the synoptic gospel, three of them, right? And so others say he was palsy. Paralyzed. They believe there was probably somebody that was paralyzed from the waist down, but that's about all it says. But he was paralyzed. And he'd be being carried around on a mat. And you had four men here who was doing this. And four friends, right? Four people that were there to help him. They didn't indicate that these men were hired in any way, but they were there to help him. And so the paralyzed man was on this mat. The four men were carrying him. And the four men, again, as far as we know, they're friends. And as far as we know, they're on foot. They don't have a device. They don't have a handicap ramp and all that stuff. They're carrying it. And as they're coming, they're approaching this huge crowd. And their goal is to go and take this man and put him in front of Jesus. So they had lots of obstacles, but they also had lots of determination. They all five would seem to have faith, otherwise why would you come and fight through all these obstacles and do what we could see to see unless you had faith, believing that Jesus could heal this man? The obstacles they were fighting were the crowds. As you're going to see, the stairs, the feeling, spiritual. You know, if you're trying to get close to Christ, or there's a chance of opportunity of someone drawing close to the Lord, there's going to be a spiritual battle there. And we know there is always spiritual battles. Every time Jesus went to his tongues of demons, he was always casting out demons. So there's spiritual opposition. And then there's the opposition of just the crowd. They wanted to get close to Jesus too. They wanted to be healed. They wanted to hear what he said. They were hanging on his words. So they were trying to get him. And it'd be very easy to kind of close in a little bit closer and kind of forget about that guy trying to nudge him on that stretcher. So you have that. So just the selfishness in him. Verse 19, and not finding any way to bring him in, because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down through the tiles with the stretcher, right in the center in front of Jesus. Now think about that for a minute. First of all, they got to go up these stairs. Well, you got to be coming down now. But anyway, they went up those stairs. I have a son that's in a wheelchair. I pushed him around. I carried him. And you don't carry somebody up the stairs like that easy. Not at all. And for the person that's riding on that mat, it's pretty scary by itself. And then when they come to lower him down from 6 feet, 7 feet, 8 feet, whatever that is, holding on ropes, that's pretty scary. So there's lots of obstacles down there. So they go up to the top of the stairs, and they get to the roof. Now the roof, back in them days, they were pretty sturdy. They used them. They would have, they would do things up there because the houses were pretty small and usually you slept and cooked downstairs, but you might have your parties and things up there that they were social things. So they were pretty solid. They believed that they were kind of like tiles. Maybe the tiles was made out of mud. That don't sound so sturdy, but if you think about bricks, they're made out of clay. Bricks are pretty sturdy. I'm not knowing exactly how the construction was, but it was some kind of a pretty sturdy construction. And they were able to disassemble it without hammers and nails or anything like that. So imagine this. We're here. Mark is preaching, Sunday morning, and all of a sudden, start seeing a few little drops of dust coming out. Then we start seeing a little bit of holes coming through there. And you got the Pharisees all sitting up here on the front row and the back row and by the door there. And the scribes. And they're looking up at what's going on. And it gets a little bit loud. was that if they could just do that, like the woman had just touched the hem of his garment, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, if I could just get in his presence, if I could just be in the shadow of my soul, I could be healed. That was their faith. And so they had been able to do that. Those men would not be denied. They would not let God speak. It wasn't a Facebook thing. Think about this too. They're doing this in front of the big elite religious establishment. And you had all the headlines there. You had probably everybody there from the religious side except for maybe the chief priest, the high priest. Right? Didn't say anything about him. If he did, if he was there, they probably was there. So that's what's happening. The crisis teaching was being interrupted, and the reaction of the crowd and the Pharisees and the scribes, you can imagine what they were thinking. They were probably annoyed and probably interested to see what Jesus would do. And here we find out, look at Luke 5, 20. And seeing their faith, that's not the faith of a friend, the man, the fight. He said, friend, your sins are forgiven you. Friend, your sins are forgiven you. You have been forgiven. But wait a minute. Didn't that guy come there to be healed? Wasn't he a paralytic? Did he come there to be healed, or did he come there to be forgiven? Did he come there to be made whole? Jesus is deeper than we do now. He knows the man, he knows the heart. And think about that. He said, you've been forgiven. Wait a minute, I didn't hear him say a prayer. Didn't see where he heard a sermon. But you have to remember, Jesus was teaching throughout the country. It's possible this man could have heard the teaching. And you're going to see here that the men are saying that he's just blaspheming for him to claim that he can forgive sins. But Jesus knew their thoughts, like he could read their thoughts. But we don't know. We know this. We know he is forgiven because Jesus Christ said he's forgiven. Now, I am forgiven. The details we don't know. But we can assume Jesus don't forgive people that don't have faith, that don't believe. But anyway, he's forgiven. That's the fact we have here, okay? So, friends, you have been forgiven. There's no sweeter proclamation of God's love for us than forgiveness of sin, which is brought by Jesus Christ. To say that you're forgiven should be the sweetest thing that we've ever heard, the sweetest thing we've ever heard, until we hear, well done, that good and faithful servant. You are forgiven. Beautiful words, precious words. Do you remember when that was, when the Lord spoke that to you? Do you remember when you had that time when you were like, there's no more fight, you gave up, but now I have peace with God, I have been forgiven. You need to remember that. If you never had it, you need to call out to Christ that you might have. To have those beautiful words spoken to you, forgiveness of sin. Thinking about what would be better. Now look, I got a son that's never walked. And I'm not saying this just to say it. Those stairs, I would crawl up them. They would make out of razor blades. Just to see him walk. scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this man who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Sounds like good theology to me. But Jesus, aware of the reasonings, answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Christ seems to hear that they are not hear what they are not saying out loud. It should give them more belief than they would hear things in 15 seconds. Just add more fuel to the fire that he is Christ, he is the Son of Man." And then he tells them, Christ says, "Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, have been forgiven, you, or to say, rise and walk?" And Jesus asked him questions. Which one's easier? Which one's easier to say? And if you think about it, it's probably easier to say either one of them. But it's a whole lot harder to do. And that wasn't what he was talking about. He needed only to say the truth. So, Jesus does not answer them as such, but he raised them. Look at them first. "But in order that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, take up your stretcher, and go home." Now, if he had said that, that man would have never moved. He would have stayed on that pallet. He wouldn't have much of a story here. Jesus was telling him, it's easy. It's to see the internal working of forgiveness of sins. We can't see that. That's internal. But the external, to heal somebody, they can see that. And just so you know, I can do the internal, I'm going to say the external. God, pick up your mat. Good. Go home. And at once he rose up before them, all of them, took up what he had been lying on. He bore what had been bored down. But now, all of a sudden, it wasn't carrying him, but he was carrying it. And he went home glorifying God. He got a double blessing. He got eternal life, forgiveness of sins. And then, oh, by the way, he got healed. And his four friends, what did they get out of it? Can you imagine? I bet when he was running out of that place, those four friends went far behind him. And I bet when they got home, like Jesus told them, just like the demoniac, when he told them to go back to where he came from, I bet they had some stories to tell. They had some good news to tell them about Christ. What happened as a result of this? And here it goes, 26. "And they all seized with astonishment and began glorifying God. And like Peter, and they were filled with fear, saying, we have seen remarkable things today." And what about the Pharisees and the scribes? Do you think they're part of that all? Might be. It's pretty amazing to see it, whether you believe it or not. They had seen a miracle. So that's what the scripture says they all received the astonishment. And the result of that was glorifying God. told those four alumni that he had a way over there. Remember the guy in the wheelchair and the arm, the one who was hurt? His so-called friends said they would take him if they paid him enough money. Miracles in this story, don't we? For him to get around all those obstacles, even those four friends that took him, didn't you think the grace of God worked in to the end? This is all of God from start to finish. You can see his sovereignty in the whole thing. A beautiful story of people that would not be turned away. Now look, to take and put him in the presence of God was his goal. Can that not be our goal here, to take people and bring them into this church and put them under the teaching of the gospel? We should not forget that we have an opportunity and an obligation to invite people to church. If you think this church is that kind of church that you can invite someone, but if you don't think it's that kind of church, then maybe you need to consider who you are. I've never been in church before. I wouldn't invite anybody. The church is so bad, I thought, I'm going to help you. I don't feel that way about this church. I love inviting people. I was listening to a sermon by Spurgeon today, and he made a crazy statement. He said, I believe, and they have a praying church. He said, I believe our church prayer meeting is better than the ones we had in the early church. We have people, I believe, they're in the net. And if you think about what they had a great big church and they had school all the time. And they had people praying all the time. And he said, they're in the net. And I believe God's going to say, all you got to do is call them in, pull them up. He's like, and so I don't even know what else to pray for. I think it's going to happen. I'm just waiting for it to happen. He was so confident in the church and the prayers and what God was going to do. And we do know a lot of people are saved to that church. And those sermons are still reaching out to people today.